I recall once watching a program about elevators, which inferred that there was almost no restriction in the speed that an elevator could ascend for the human body, but there was a limiting speed for the descent. Is this true?
Well, Paul, lucky for you, I know an engineer at Cambridge University who knows a thing or two about lifts. Meet Dr. Philip Garsed.
A typical express lift can travel at speeds of up to 22 miles an hour, although this year we'll see the first high-speed lifts capable of travelling at over 40 miles an hour.
Now, what confuses me is that trains can travel at up to 360 miles per hour. Lifts go at a measly 22 miles an hour on average. I wanted to know why elevator engineers haven't quite cracked this nut. So come on, Philip, explain yourself.
The main difference with a lift is that it goes up and down. Because the Earth's atmosphere gets thinner as you go higher, a person in a lift experiences a change in air pressure as they travel. On a fast lift, this change is rapid enough to cause noticeable pressure differences in the body. One of the most sensitive parts of the body to changes in pressure is the ear. This is because the inner ear is quite well sealed, and air has to travel along a thin tube known as the Eustachian tube to leave or enter. As a result, it can take a while for a change in pressure to equalise across the eardrum. And a pressure difference across the eardrum causes it to bulge, and that's uncomfortable at best and can even be a painful experience. It just so happens that this pressure equalisation works better if you're ascending rather than descending. And this is because the walls of this Eustachian tube are a little bit floppy, a bit like the neck of a balloon. Air comes out easily when it's inflated, but it's a lot more difficult to get air in. And if you've been in a plane, you'll probably have noticed that landing is much more painful on the ears than takeoff, even though the aircraft ascends much faster than it descends.
And it's the same with lifts. They can go fast on the way up, but have to go slower on the way down.
The maximum speed of ascent and descent is set by how much pain the passengers can reasonably bear. Lift manufacturers can get around the problem a bit by pressurising the lift. But even so, the new and fancy 40-mile-an-hour lifts can only go up the building at that speed. They come down at a much more sedate 22 miles an hour. So yes, you're right. A lift does have different limits on its speed, depending on whether it's going up or down. But it's our biology that prevents us going faster, not our engineering.
Cambridge's Dr. Philip Garsed to the rescue. Thank you very much. No doubt next time we'll be getting all spaced out with Jeff's question.
If we received an encrypted message from space, would we be able to recognise it? And if so, understand it?
Depends if it's from a space doctor, in which case you probably can't read their handwriting at all. Stereotype doctor joke. If you have any answers to that question, you can send them in to chris@thenakedscientist.com. You can tweet us @nakedscientists or get involved in our forum. That's nakedscientist.com/forum.
And that is it. Thank you very much to everyone who has been involved. And thank you also to Connie Orbach for producing the programme. We're back next week when we're all going to be in handcuffs, not for kinky reasons, but to find out how science is at work in the criminal justice system. The Naked Scientist comes to you from Cambridge University, and it's supported by the STFC and Rolls-Royce. I'm Chris Smith, and until next time, goodbye.